Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Bijana Vala Ba Giri Varadari Bijana Vala Ba Giri Varadari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tiravanachari Yamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tiravanachari Yamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivijakacharya Astotarasata Sri Srimadisdivine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Sri Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prayam Sikau Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai Sri Radha Krishna Gogopanas Shyamakunda Radha Kun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namani Namaste Sarasvati Dev Guravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Paschata. Om Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, thank you all for coming. Today's class, what's the verse? Verse 13? Yeah, I didn't know where he left off yesterday. So we're starting with verse 13. Thanks for the nice kirtan Prajapati Prabhu. That was nice. Yeah, I think that's it. Thanks to everyone who joined in our moment of need. I know Srila Prabhupada was probably a little put out from our performance today, but I think we could all grow up and maybe be better tomorrow. Oh. Can everyone hear? Is this okay? So let's see if this is marked. I'll bet it's not. Sometimes Krishna tests us when things just don't seem to go well. All right. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything about it, you know. Somebody's going to have to go turn it up. So, I mean, I could go like this, but I have to read, and I just can't stand it. Stick it in my face. All right, text 13. Tatas cha te kshni kshini unmilya. Hang on, let me get some light so I can see. Oh. Punar. Bandiram apitaha nishamya nishmita ashnan athanam gas cha mochitaha tatascha te kishni unmilya. Punarbandiram apitaha nishamya vishmita asan atmanam gascha mochitaha tatastyate kishniv unmilya. Punarbandiram apitaha nishamya vishmita asan atmanam gascha mochitaha tatascha te kishni unmilya. Punarbandiram apitaha nishamya vishmita asan atmanam gascha mochitaha
Thank you.
Tataha, then, cha, and, te, they, akshini, their eyes, unmilya, opening, punaha, again, bandiram, to bandira, apita, brought, Nishamya, seeing. Vishmitaha, amazed. Asan, they became. Atmanam, themselves. Gaha, the cows. Cha, and. Mochitaha, saved. Translation. The cowherd boys opened their eyes and were amazed to find not only that they and the cows had been saved from the terrible fire, but that they had all been brought back to the bandira tree. So I say, and you can repeat. The cowherd boys opened their eyes, and were amazed to find that not only had the cows been saved. From the terrible fire, but that they had been brought back to the bandira tree. Text 14.
The bandira tree is mentioned on page 214 in the purport about that bandira tree.
Yeah, that was in the previous chapter. Yeah, they say they saw that the best of all trees, which had many long branches with its dense covering of leaves, it resembled a cloud sitting on the earth. Indeed, its form was so large that it appeared like a mountain covering half the sky. Many birds with the charming blue wings frequented that great tree, whose dense fruits and leaves made it seem like a cloud accompanied by a rainbow, or like those like a house decorated with creepers and flowers. It spread its broad roots downward and carried upon itself the sanctified clouds. That banyan tree was like the lordly master of all other trees in that vicinity, as it performed all the auspicious functions of warding off the rain and the heat and the sun. Such was the appearance of that Nagrodha tree, known as Bandira, which seemed just like the peak of a great mountain. So they had found themselves not only saved by the fire, but here they are by this tree, in this great tree, this sanctuary. So, text 14. Krishnaya yoga viryam tad yoga matyanu bhavitam Davangner Atmanaha Shemam Vikshame Munire Maram. Translation. When the cowherd boys saw that they had been saved from the forest fire by the Lord's mystic power, which is manifest by his internal potency, they begin to think that Krishna must be a demigod. I think we'll go ahead and finish this chapter. There's just another couple of verses, so we'll go ahead and finish. Purport. The cowherd boys of Vrindavan simply loved Krishna as their only friend and exclusive object of devotion. To increase their ecstasy, Krishna displayed to them his mystic potency and saved them from a terrible forest fire. The cowherd boys could never give up their ecstatic loving friendship with Krishna. Therefore, rather than considering Krishna to be God, after they saw this extraordinary power, they thought that perhaps he was a demigod. But since Lord Krishna was their beloved friend, they were on the same level with him, and thus they thought that they must be demigods as well. They must too be demigods. In this way, Krishna's cowherd friends became overwhelmed with ecstasy. So this is, we'll stop here and visit this verse. This is very interesting because the cowherd boys, they know that Krishna is their shelter. You see, when the fire came about, they called out for Krishna. The calves were calling out. I think there was other animals involved, goats and other things that they're caught up in this forest fire. First, they were caught in this, they got into this caney part of the forest, sharp canes, it said, you know, so thorny kind of caney bushes and things. So, and then the forest fire starts to appear as if it's going to consume them. So what's the first thing they do? They call out for Krishna. So whereas they may be thinking themselves to be on the same level with Krishna, there is some awareness that Krishna is their only shelter. So it's kind of like at the same time, he's their shelter, but then they're thinking themselves equal to him. You see? So it's kind of like a child. A child may act like they're really brave. They may be someplace with the father or the mother, and they may think, "Well, I'm so brave, and I'm all grown up." You see, and then some loud noise may happen, some big bang or something, and immediately they run for the father or the mother. You see, so they may be kind of pretending, strutting like, "Yes, I am so grown up." You see, so the cowherd boys saw themselves on an equal level with Krishna. But ultimately, they knew who the shelter was. They knew it was Krishna, you see. They didn't call for one another when they got into trouble, you see. They didn't call out for some cowherd boy friend. They knew that Krishna was special. He was their supreme shelter. As a matter of fact, he was their only shelter. They felt as if he was their only friend, although they were surrounded by friends. Knowing that they're surrounded by friends, but Krishna is such a great friend to them that he appears to be their only friend. He's their only shelter, you see. And this is a reflex. We can see that these cowherd boys do this on a reflex. They didn't have to have a meeting and say, "Hey, what do you think we should do here? There's a forest fire, you know. Well, I vote for, we call Krishna. Well, I vote, we call this one. All right, let's take a vote, you know, see what we're going to do." No, it was immediate. Not only that, but all of the living entities involved here, the cows, all these animals that were being harassed by the fire, immediately they start to cry out for Krishna, you see. So we need to get to the point, all of us, I know I do, we need to get to the point of where it's a knee-jerk, as they say, a knee-jerk reaction, a reflex to always think of Krishna. Always think of Krishna. But how do we react in an emergency situation? I don't know, has anybody had recently, in the last couple of months, like an emergency situation? Can you think of any? No? Boy, you guys are living dull lives. You should get out more. Huh? Oh, okay. Fire last Friday. Did anybody think of Krishna first? Did you? Okay. Yeah. No, then you're making advancement. Yes, Mother?
Rupanuga Prabhu was the only one who was in the Pujari room because everybody evacuated. And Madhavi Madhava, she was crying her eyes out, hugging Kalachanji's feet. Mm. And that made melt my heart.
Yeah. Well, what I'm looking for is a knee jerk. I mean, like a reflex. I mean, if we think about it, of course. Yeah. 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 But I was thinking that if there's some emergency where you don't have time to think. Is Krishna so programmed into our mind that it's immediate, you see? Now, I'll give you a good what happened to me a few months ago in India. there's this nice place in Mayapur called Prabhupada Ghat, where you can go down to the Ganga. They've built some nice stairs, stone stairway down into the Ganga. So you don't have to get into the mud. And then down a little ways from that is a place where the buses park. And they also take the water buffalo down there, the herds of water buffalo down there. And they kind of let them wade out into the Ganga like that. You know, it's agrarian. There's a lot. So you may be in the Ganga. There may be a herd of water buffalo in there with you. You know, it's okay. So, but sometimes these rascals, they don't like to take the cows or the water buffalo, or whatever. Usually it's water buffalo. You don't see very many herds of cows that they're taking to the Ganga. So they're taking a herd of water buffalo down to the Ganges, and this guy decides he's going to take them down to Prabhupada Ghat. Now, the water buffalo don't like to go down these steps because they're kind of steep, and they're wet, and they don't like it. They'd rather wade into the mud. But he's got a stick, and he's behind them, and he's making them go down there. And he wants to take them down there because he doesn't want to get in the mud, I'm sure. So anyway, I was leaving this place at just the time when the water buffalo had come into there. And one of them in the front, one of the bigger ones, decided, I don't want to do this. So it turned around and started jumping and charging. It just went kind of nutty. And it ran right at myself and Aaron, Bhakta Aaron. It ran right at us. So here's this big 1,500-pound critter running at us with horns, and it's nutty. And if you know this, do you know where I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The Prabhupada guy. It's a little narrow walkway there. It's just like a sidewalk. And here this thing's running. So I have to say to you, I was very scared. And Krishna wasn't the first thing that came to my mind. You know, I didn't say, oh, Krishna, save me. I started figuring out, what am I going to do? What am I going to do if this thing comes at me? Should I step this way, step that way? What if I punch it? I don't know. You know, all these things just, so finally I just screamed, you know, hut! You know, and the thing went past me towards the guy with the stick, and he was able to turn it around. And I looked at Aaron, and I said, did you think of Krishna? He said, no. I said, neither did I. It was an afterthought. I thought of Krishna later, you know, a couple of seconds. Give me a couple of seconds delay, and Krishna's going to be there. You know, give me an hour, and I guarantee you I'll think of him. But at that moment, when I was faced with this emergency, I didn't think of Krishna, you see. It wasn't. It's just like if you're going along and driving in your car and somebody pulls out in front of you and you've only got a split second to react, is Krishna the first thing that comes into your mind? You see? But he should be, you see? We're in practice. We're in training. ISKCON is like training wheels for the spiritual sky, you see? We can actually come here to this temple and we can perform activities that we will perform when we go back home, back to Godhead. We can do the arti to the deity, and we can visit the deity every day and take darshan. You see, taking darshan doesn't mean going and looking at the deity. Some people have that impression. It's going to be seen by the deity, you see. He's not a statue. He's not just a piece of marble standing there. He sees, you see. So we go. What if Krishna were standing there in his original form? We wouldn't go just to see him. We would expect there to be an exchange. We'll see him and he'll see us, you see. So we should be thinking like that. We're going to go have this loving exchange with Krishna. We're going to go see Krishna. And Krishna will see us, you see. So, as I said, ISKCON is like training wheels for the spiritual sky, for Goloka Vrindavan. This temple can be used that way, and so can the way we live our lives. Everything that we do all day, we can be thinking of Krishna. We can be. So just because we're not there yet doesn't mean we should say, oh, by gosh, I'll never be able to do this. You see, I see from time to time as I travel around, there are many people who think that certain things become a little too difficult. They're thinking, like maybe learning to read the Sanskrit or learning some of the prayers. It's a little difficult, so I'll put that off. You know, right now I'm going to do the other stuff that's easy. And that's okay. But then we should also revisit. We shouldn't let things that might seem difficult prevent us from learning, you see. We have to have this desire, and create this desire within us. It's actually there. It's dormant within us. We all have the desire, and we all have this knowledge. We do have the desire to go back home, back to Godhead. But we're misinterpreting our desires right now. I'm thinking that instead of going back to Godhead, I can intellectually understand that I should want that. But right now I want some fun. You know? I mean, it's the holiday weekend. I'd like to go out and sail on the lake, you see? Or I'd like to go do something, party. I'd like, of course. And you know what? After all, I've spent a lot of time paying attention to Krishna. So why can't I go have some fun? You see? So we're misinterpreting what we want. There's an emptiness, a void in our life. And so therefore the living entity is always hankering for something. You know? That's how advertising works. They catch people that are going along thinking there's something I want. I want this, I want that. And then you see some billboard. You know, it may be like one thing that happened to me. I was in Tucson one time. I don't know if I've told this story here before or not. So if I have, then too bad. You have to hear it again. And I was looking for a place to distribute books. So I was driving around this nice neighborhood, and I see this big, beautiful billboard done very nicely with this gorgeous picture of pizza. It's like this beautiful, most delicious-looking pizza I'd ever seen. And well-done billboard. You know, it looked real. And immediately, I got a taste for pizza. I thought, whoa, that looks good. And I thought, but I'm not going to go there at this place and eat this pizza. I've got something I've got to do right now, so later on. So I finished my business and control that urge for the pizza. And it wasn't easy because I kept thinking about it. Off and on, I would keep thinking.
Well, contemplating the opposite of the senses.
Attachment. Yeah.
Lust.
Yeah, and that's what was happening to me. All day long, I would think of that beautiful pizza, and I felt like I was salivating, and lust is starting to come. The tongue is really getting lusty, and I'm thinking, oh, boy. Every so often, I would think of that. I'm thinking, how long has it been since I've had pizza? Wow. So, but then I got back to the temple that evening, and you'll never guess what they were having in the restaurant in Govinda's. Pizza. So I had my lusty tongue satisfied with pizza prasadam. So we actually, when we're feeling these desires, these void spots, we're really just wanting Krishna. We want to feel the true enjoyment, the real enjoyment. Real enjoyment is Krishna. Krishna is the source of all. Everything emanates from God. If you could define God, you could say he from which everything emanates. So I think everybody of every faith would agree to that. Everything emanates from the Supreme Godhead. So therefore, enjoyment. If you want enjoyment, it comes from Krishna. It comes from God. You see? So we approach God for enjoyment. But in modern society, notice I didn't say civilization. There is no civilization unless you associate with those who are God-minded. But in modern society, people have such a hankering all the time for something. And as soon as they get it, they realize, well, this is very wonderful, but I want that one. It's just like what they're doing with computers and cell phones and little toys like that. Got to have it. Got to have this. Now I've got it. Oh, this is great. But that one over there is better. So I have to have that one. There's always this hankering and then lamenting for what I can't have. It's hankering and lamenting, you see. It's a constant, and the Vaishyas are very expert at utilizing that. They're very expert, you see, because they'll start throwing you things. You need this, you need that. They don't even wait to establish. You know, used to it, they would seek out a need. They would find somebody who has a need and build a better, as they say, build a better mouse trap, and the world will be a path to your door. That's used to be what they. The way things work, but now they've learned how to create the perceived need. You see, they make you think that you need something. They could have never sold us cell phones in the 60s. We didn't need them. You know, if you'd have told somebody in the 1960s, "Hey, I have this little phone you can carry with you," they would say, "Well, I don't need that. I've got a phone at home." Some people would say, well, I've got two phones. I have an extension. I have one in the bedroom, and usually it was one in the kitchen or a hallway or something like that, you see. There was no need. There was no need to carry a little phone around with you. Mankind doesn't have that need, you see. Now, how can we figure out what are needs? Well, we can look at this scene here, the Cowherd Boys. Did they have a need for cell phones? Well, then how come we have a need for cell phones? We're trying to live some artificial life. Now, I'm not saying that a cell phone can't be used in Krishna's service, because it certainly can. A microphone can be used in Krishna's service. A dictaphone, a car can be used in Krishna's service. You can use an airplane in Krishna's service. There's so many things, a computer you can use in Krishna's service. But you can also use all these things in nonsense. You know, it's kind of like when I heard the concept of Facebook, I thought, wow, a way for everybody to communicate. This could be a great preaching tool. I have to learn, see how this can be used as a preaching tool. So, but when I checked out Facebook, I found that it was just a bunch of dot, 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 yada, 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 you know, small talk. Now, there are many people who post some really nice things and pictures of Krishna. And, you know, there are so many nice things. But there are so many people who post such nonsense. There are also people who pose to be devotees who are placing things on there that low-class non-devotees wouldn't put on their website. You know, so anyway, whatever we find that can be used in Krishna's service, it can also be misused for the service of Maya. So we have to get to the point where we need to grow up and say, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to use this or that or whatever, the internet or the cell phone or whatever, for nonsense. I don't have a need for it except to serve Krishna. There's no need. It can't be a need. Otherwise, Krishna fulfilled all the needs of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And if they needed cell phones, he would have seen that they had them. He could have given them cell phones if he wanted to.
But he didn't. So life without that kind of thing, life without electricity, goes on very nicely. Now, we're not used to it, but it does. One thing about what I like to do when I'm in Mayapur is I like to walk through the farm villages, you know, across the street. You know, you go out the front gate and turn right down towards Jogapit, and then off to the left. You can go out all the way, all through all those farm villages out there. And it's really nice. It's really peaceful, really sweet. You see people living off the ground, off the land, people taking care of the cows, protecting the cows. And if you look around, you can see that many of the houses, or several of them, have some electricity. Many of them don't, you see. And for the most part, you can see that life hasn't changed that much since Lord Chaitanya's time. When you get into the farm villages, and there's some villages, little, few houses together in the forest also. That's another route I like to walk. And you can see from the way people live that life probably hasn't changed very much. Some of the houses you can see don't have an electric line going to them. They don't have electricity. They go and carry their water. You can see the ladies carrying the water on their head. You see? And some people would think, oh, but by gosh, if you have to go carry your water on your head, that's got to be a lousy, dirty way to live. But it's just not that way. You see these ladies carrying the big water pots on their head, and their saris look as if they just got them out of the cleaners. Isn't it? Clean, very suchy. They're wearing nice ornaments, nice tilak. Their hair is done nicely, some makeup. They don't look like, in America, we think, well, anybody who would live in a hut with no electricity and no running water, they're probably going to be dirty, soiled, messy, you see. But it's not like that. And you can see they have food. They have a way to cook their food. They have a way to preserve food. They don't buy more than they need, you see. They don't have a refrigerator. You know why? They don't need a refrigerator. Now, if you have a tendency to go buy much, much more than you can consume, then you are creating a need for yourself. Well, I need a place to put this so it'll deteriorate slower. Because that's much handier than going to the market every day. You know, they go to the market. The market's right there. They go to the market and they buy. It's, you know, it's a very nice way to live. So, the cowherd boys, I guess you could say in the back of their mind, they knew that their only need was Krishna. Their only shelter was Krishna. While at the same time seeing themselves on the same level with Krishna. Not 100%. Now, they, as I said, it's like a child. They see themselves when it's time to wrestle and play and take care of the cows on the same level as Krishna. All they know is that Krishna is just so wonderful. Krishna's just sweet, wonderful, incredibly attractive. He always has the best jokes. He's the center of their attention. But Krishna doesn't make it in such a way that they fall down when they when they see him, you see. This relationship is not one of awe and reverence. Krishna is not seeking out one of awe and reverence. As I travel around, some people want to argue about that with me. They'll say, no, we should worship God in awe and reverence. And I just say that if that's your desire, then go for it. Give him awe and reverence. You'll have a relationship with him of awe and reverence. But that's not what he wants. You know, he's not jealous. He's not envious. He is complete. If something is complete and lacking nothing, how can it be envious of anybody or anything? So Krishna doesn't need anything. So he doesn't need his ego fed for you to grovel at his fall at his feet. He doesn't need that. You may feel that that's the way you want to worship him. That's okay. That's okay. But if you want to get closer to Krishna, if you want to get closer to God, then there is Krishna. Krishna is not some expansion or incarnation of God that you keep at arm's length, you see. We shouldn't let ourselves do that. We should try to get close to Krishna. Of course, we can't think of him as an equal. We're not on that level. But let's get as close to him as we possibly can. Many religions, I just had a meeting with a theology professor up in Arkansas, and we're going to be talking about many different religions. I'm going to be on a panel of other people who are representing other religions, and I'm also going to give a class. And I just talked with him very briefly about our philosophy, and he was amazed. He was absolutely amazed. He was saying, well, this is completely different than anything I've ever heard. And he's got his PhD in theology, but he doesn't know anything about bhakti yoga, you see. The idea of getting this close to God is just amazing to him, because everyone else has a God or a conception of God, and he's at arm's length, you see. It's kind of like their ideas, like, I want to be with God, but I'd like him to be over there against that back wall. Or maybe across the hall in another room. Or maybe even down the street, you know. It's kind of like sometimes I talk to people about going to heaven. What will you do when you go to heaven? Have you thought about that? They don't think like the feedback that I get from a lot of people. They're not thinking like, well, I'm going to see God every day. It's kind of like, well, you know, maybe we'll do lunch once in a while. I'm not expecting him to drop into my mansion anytime he wants to. I'm going to have a mansion. I'm going to have my family there. I'm going to have my family life. You know, so I'll probably have my SUV and my cell phone. And I'm going to go on with my life, you know. I'm going to have my wife and my kids and grandma and grandpa. They're all going to be, the family's going to be together. And there's no plan for fitting in God. But that's okay. He's not that kind of God that you have to be with him all the time. He can be over there in his palace or whatever he's doing. I don't know what he does. We don't have a clue. And, you know, we're not that concerned. But he's there and he'll provide for us. He'll take care, you know. And maybe we'll even get to see him once in a while. So this concept of a God that we can embrace and see, not only on a daily basis, but we want to see Krishna constantly. We want to always see Krishna. We want to always be with Krishna. You see? The cowherd boys didn't look at their adventures going into the forest every day with Krishna to take the cows out. They didn't see this as a job. They didn't see that, like, oh, when they're leaving, they didn't tell their wife, okay, honey, I got to go to work. You know, I'll see you when I get home. My boss is a slave driver. You know, they didn't think of it like that. They thought about every minute that they can spend with Krishna, they were drinking like nectar. They were looking forward to every minute. And later on in this chapter, we might as well go ahead and finish. But so Krishna satisfied in saving the devotees from this forest fire. They in the realization, the absolute realization, to the point to where it becomes a split-second reflex that Krishna is what we need. Krishna, save me, you see. We need to get to that point to where if there's anything, any kind of danger whatsoever, Krishna, save me. And what's the biggest, most common danger that we need to worry about? Do you know what the biggest worry is statistically in America? This is on Yahoo News. Do you know what the biggest worry? They've done surveys in America and Western Europe. Do you know what people are the biggest fear people have? Huh? It's not death. Huh? Nope. Huh? Nope. Overwhelming. Huh? Nope. You would think that. But the overwhelming majority, over 85% of people, the biggest fear they have is losing their cell phone. Yeah. Because if I lose my cell phone, not only can I not call anybody, but I'll lose all my contacts. That's the biggest fear. But we have a bigger challenge that we should be worried about, and that's our minds. What will my mind do to me today? What will it try to sell me? My mind is always going to try to lead me here and lead me there. You know, it's always going to say, well, wouldn't you like to do this? You know, you've been a really good devotee lately. Come on. You've been a good devotee. You can kind of kick back a little bit. Wouldn't you like to have a little enjoyment? And, you know, start to pat yourself on the back, you know, been really good. Boy, you've been working hard lately. Don't you think you should have some enjoyment? This is like if you're on a special diet or something like that. You can tell yourself after couple of weeks, well, I've been on my diet. I've been really good. So, you know, I'm not supposed to have sweets anymore. So I could tell myself, well, gee whiz, you know, after a week, I can have some gulab jamun. That stupid doctor, what does he know? I mean, I've followed his instructions for the last week, and I'm, you know, I'll follow him for the next week, but today, I'm just going to pig out. So I can talk myself into it. Now, Mother Linda, did you have a question?
When you were talking about enjoyment, we want to stop doing devotional service or stop just for a minute and go enjoy. But if we redefine enjoyment as devotional service, as associating with devotees, as reading the shastras or chanting our rounds, then we have enjoyment all the time. Instead of this separate, you know, I've got to do my devotional service. Like you said, I've been a good devotee, so now I'm going to go enjoy. Well, isn't devotional service really enjoying? Isn't that the real enjoyment?
Well, now that's a really good point. See, as we become devotees, what happens to us as we become transcendentalized is we become dematerialized.
Right.
So our definition on what is enjoyment actually changes. Good thing that's happened to all of us, a good example, and some of you might have been vegetarians from birth, I don't know. But for those of us who were carnivores, we used to think, oh, this is great, isn't it? We liked it all. We enjoyed it. Barbecued, fried, baked, broiled, you name it. So then we come in contact with this philosophy when we think, oh, what a great austerity. I have to give up meat. Oh, terrible. Woe is me. I have to give up meat. And we realize this is what I should do. I should do this. So intellectually we understand. So then we take up the austerity. But then, in a very short time, it changes. Meat's not considered an enjoyment. We don't lust for meat. We don't start wishing, oh, if you're driving and you see a billboard of a steak, you don't think, ooh, I'd really like to have that. You see, it turns into now to eat meat would be a big austerity, horrible austerity. It used to be a big enjoyment. It's just a function of the mind. And all of these things that we were attached to before we became serious about Krishna consciousness, whether or not they're enjoyment or suffering, is just a function of the mind. Well, who owns the mind? You. So we can control the function of our mind. It may be quite difficult. You know, some things will be more difficult than others, but we can do it, especially with the help of Krishna. But that's a good point. Our definition of what is enjoyment changes. We become more attracted to hearing and chanting, you see. As time goes by, we start to remember the moments that we spent hearing something that made us feel so ecstatic, so happy, some of Krishna's pastimes, you see. And we become, the definition of enjoyment changes to where that's, I want to hear something wonderful about Krishna, you see. So, I think there's only a couple of verses left in this chapter, so should I go ahead and finish?
I just made one big comment about that.
Oh, sure.
About that particular question, because in the material world, we are in what's called the enjoying mood. So Prabhupada defines bhakti as devotional service, that we, instead of being the enjoyer or recipient of the situation, we want to extend ourselves to serve Krishna.
Right. And that's a good point, because when we get out of the enjoying mood, then we can enjoy. When we're trying to enjoy, it's hard. I mean, we have to struggle. It's a constant struggle. We can see it. In the material world, there's a constant struggle for the living entities trying to enjoy. It's all about us. As soon as we become the enjoyed, we enjoy like everything. That's true not only with Krishna, but the assembled devotees and all living entities. When they enjoy you, you see, when you're pleasing to all the fallen conditioned souls or the devotees, let's say all living entities, if you don't make any distinction, if you treat everybody the same way you would treat a devotee, with respect, you see, If you cause somebody some pleasure by being nice to them or doing something nice, it's just like if you're going into a store and there's someone coming in behind you and you open the door and hold it for them and let them go in and they appreciate it. They say, thank you so much. Doesn't that make you feel nice? It makes you feel good. You can demonstrate this to yourself. That when you become enjoyed, you are enjoying. And when you're trying to enjoy, then you're just struggling and competing with all the others that are trying to enjoy. And you get caught up, huh? You become miserable. Yeah. It's like you become miserable, like driving in India is miserable. You know, it's misery, it's suffering. Everybody's trying to get in front of everybody else. it's different. Yeah, you become. It's just a competitive situation in the material world. When I'm trying to enjoy and you're trying to enjoy, and then I'm trying to show you how my enjoyment's better than yours. You know. Because my car's got this option on it and yours doesn't, and it's endless. So I'm trying to control my mind. I'm trying to convince myself that what I have, the enjoyment that I have, is better than everybody else's enjoyment. So we're very good at controlling our minds, because we see that everybody does it. They convince themselves of all sorts of nonsense. And they're convinced. And then it changes. They'll change to something else. You'll see them later and, you know, now they've got something else that they're totally into. You know, it's kind of like the New Agees. The New Age people, they always have something that, they always have somebody that they hate. They have a demon that they hate. You know, George Bush is fading, so they're probably going to find somebody else very soon. You got to have a bad guy to hate. You've got to have something that you're pushing, you know. Give up gluten, give up this. And it used to be, years ago, they were saying that coconut oil was horrible for your health. coconut oil and ghee, any kind of oil that would congeal, that would get hard when you left it at room temperature. It's horrible for you. It'll clog your blood vessels and you'll die. Your heart will quit beating. It'll kill you. Well, now it's in health food stores. They're pushing coconut oil. And the health gurus are touting ghee, the qualities of ghee. You know, you can't believe these people. They don't know what they're talking about. Now, once in a while, as I say, even a blind acorn, a blind squirrel finds an acorn, you see. So once in a while, they may come up with something that's correct. But it keeps changing. They keep changing it all the time. And when they're coming, when they're trying to tell you something or sell you something, they really believe that they're right. They really do. But give it time. One thing about old age is you see these things repeat. People are, you know, they keep changing. The styles keep changing. And every time there's a style, the latest age thinks it's the best style that they've ever had. And this will last forever, you know. And it never has. So I think I'll just go on and we'll finish this. Any more discussion on this? Okay. Gahasa nivartya sayane saharamo janardanaha venum viranya goshtam agad gopair abhishtubu tuta. Translation. It was now late in the afternoon, and Lord Krishna, accompanied by Balaram, turned the cows back toward home. Playing his flute in a special way, Krishna returned to the cowherd village in the company of his cowherd friends who chanted his glories. Gopinam paramananda asi govinda darshane chanam yugashtam eva yashmam yena vina bhavat. The young gopis took the greatest pleasure in seeing Govinda, Krishna, come home, since for them, even a moment without his association seemed like 100 ages. Purport. After saving the cowherd boys from the blazing forest fire, Krishna saved the cowherd girls from the blazing fire of separation from him. The gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, have the greatest love for Krishna, and even a single moment separation from him seems like millions of years to them. The gopis are the greatest devotees of God, and their specific pastimes with Krishna will be described later in this work. Thus in the purports of the humble servant of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 19th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Swallowing the Forest Fire. I think this last verse is very interesting. The young gopis took the greatest pleasure in seeing Govinda, Krishna, come home, since for them, even a moment without his association seemed like 100 ages. It's mentioned in the purport that Krishna put out their fire, the fire of the gopis, by returning home. You see, they're having the fire in their heart of the separation of Krishna. They're thinking, oh, Krishna is gone, and they're longing for Krishna. Recently I heard, and I can't remember where I heard it, but it was by a credible source, that the only time that the inhabitants of Goloka Vrindavan, or of Vrindavan in this case, when Krishna was on this planet, the only time that they thought of him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is when they were in separation. When Krishna wasn't there, they could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, my dear Lord, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why are you not before me? You know? They didn't see him as an ordinary living entity because they felt like, you have the option. You could be here with me, my Lord. You know, even though he may be doing something. They didn't, they couldn't say, well, you know, Krishna is away taking care of the cowherd boys. I mean, taking care of the cows with the cowherd boys. So he has an excuse why he can't be here right now. You see. Well, they didn't give him any excuses. I want you here. I want you to be with me. And I know you can. You're choosing not to be with me. You're choosing to put me in separation. You naughty Krishna. Why do you do this? I love you so much that I can't think of anything else. You see. So, it's said that when he returned to Vrindavan, he extinguished the fire of the gopis. They're also feeling this fire of separation and missing Krishna. So this is like one day in Vrindavan. They left on a perfectly, I guess you could call it an average day, took the cows to the forest, got caught in a forest fire, got saved by Krishna. You see? And all of this, with all this going on, they didn't start thinking, oh, you know, they thought maybe he's a demigod. But they didn't think, oh, you're the supreme Godhead. Now, these people knew that there was a supreme God. They believe in God. But they didn't equate it to Krishna's God, you see. Now, why is that? Anybody have any ideas? Why? Why does Krishna have such a scenario? Yes, Prajapati?
Well, they're covered with the yoga maya potency that Krishna put over them just so he can have an intimate relationship.
Exactly. He wants to taste this, you see. Krishna's dying to taste love with us. Dying isn't a good way. That's not a good thing to say. Hankering. Krishna's hankering to taste. He wants to experience this. See? Krishna's going to put us into difficulty throughout our lives. He's going to put us into difficulty because he wants to taste us turning to him and saying, oh, Krishna, please save me. Please help me. You see? Now, he's going to take care of us regardless, even if we don't. He will take care of us. But he wants to taste that. When one takes shelter of Krishna, he will always take care of you. But he wants to taste your love for him. My dear Lord, I have nothing but you. I have nothing but you. You see, Krishna wants to share that intimate relationship with him, with us. You see. So, as Prajapati Prabhu said, this covering of yoga maya is there to keep everyone, once we've come so close to Krishna, to keep you from realizing his supremacy. Because at the same time, he wants to do for you. You see? So he's going to do Herculean tasks. He's going to save you from a forest fire. He's going to kill great demons. You see? And it's important that he does that because he wants you to enjoy being with him, being saved with him. He wants to enjoy saving you. And he wants to keep this intimacy going. So he has to extend his spell of yoga maya to keep you from thinking, wow, what are you, God or something? He wants to remain just wonderful Krishna. You see? So, it's very difficult sometimes to get people, when I'm traveling, to understand that God's not something, his desire for a relationship with you is not something of awe and reverence. That's not what he wants. He can get that anytime he wants. All he would have to do is walk down the street. He can get all the awe and reverence that he... But he doesn't want that. It's harder to get love. Love is a much more precious commodity. And he knows he can get it, but he knows how as well. He knows how to have a loving relationship. He knows he's the supreme lover. We're the ones that are learning. We're the ones that we need to tune up. We need to learn how to love. He knows. He knows how to have a loving, sweet relationship. But we've forgotten. It's become covered over because we're putting ourselves first in everything. We're loving ourselves. Sometimes when I'm speaking at some of these yoga salons, some people will say, you know, I try to get the audience to talk because it's very interesting to find out what the way they think. And some people say, well, I kind of think that one thing we need to do is we need to learn to love ourselves. And I say, there's too much of that already. No, you need to get to the point where you feel confident that you're okay. When you get a little bit of self-realization, you realize I'm an eternal living entity. I cannot be killed or harmed in any way. Now, I'm all right. I'm okay. So what else is there besides me? How can I get out of me? What about you? What about you? What about God? What about God and all the living entities that I'm surrounded by? You see? So, but many people think like that. We need to learn how to... I hear things like, we need to learn how to love ourselves. We need to learn how to forgive ourselves. Maybe forgive ourselves, but first chastise ourselves for being so naughty. You know? If at least first, let's say, you know, that wasn't right. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't behave that way. And then once you start to perform properly, forgive yourself. You know, don't hold a grudge to yourself. Don't go around thinking, oh, I can never do anything right. You know, so why should I try? No, it's not like that. So, yeah, let's learn to behave properly, forgive ourselves for our mistakes, and go on back to Godhead. All right, let's shut it down. And thank you so much for all your association and comments. Very good. See you tomorrow. Same time, same channel. Hare Krishna.
Namaste Gauravani Srimurtaye Dinatarini Rupanu Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Jump up.